What a waste of time. You go on vacation, it's just a big waste of time. You work all week, where does it take you? Another week? More weeks? A waste of time. Solomon said it right when he said this in Ecclesiastes. This is the beginning. There's 12 chapters in the book, but he explores everything that can be done under the sun, anything under heaven. He had the wealth, he had the resources, he had the knowledge, he had the ability, he had everything available to carry out any of his aspirations, his dreams, his ambitions. And here's what he said. Words of the teacher, son of David, that's Solomon, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. If you have a different translation, it'll say, vanity, vanity. All is vanity, empty. What does a man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come, generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north, and round it goes, ever returning to its course. I only wrote up three, didn't I? Listen to the rest. Shall I start over? Okay, it's just going. You know what a merry-go-round does? Well, that's what we're doing here. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north, and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place where the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome. More than one can say, the eye never has enough seeing, nor the ear its fill with hearing. Empty. Meaningless. Simple saying. God without man is still God. Man without God is nothing. If you got up every morning and you went down, like at my house, you can go down the back, we call it the back 40, but there's a lower area down there. Take your shovel down there and just start digging a hole. And I want you to work, work 14 hours a day at least, maybe 16. I mean, be busy, work hard, put a little sweat on your brow. What are you accomplishing? Well, you're digging a hole. What's the purpose of the hole? I'm busy. I don't have time to talk to you. I don't have time to lollygag. I've got things that have to be accomplished. And every morning I rise up at the break of day and I gulp down some breakfast and away I go with my shovel and I dig my hole. I don't have time to talk about politics. That's good. Especially this time of year, and religion, I'm too busy. And life kind of kicks us along down the path, day after day, month after month, year after year. Time goes round and round and round, and what are we doing? We're digging our hole. What's the purpose of the hole? It has no purpose. It's busy work. You see, everything that man can do, will do, aspires to do, is nothing if God is not part of the equation. That's what he's saying in Ecclesiastes. That's what the point of it all is yes, we're busy. You can pursue your jobs. You can pursue your pleasures. You're busy with life, and life is speeding by like just like a jet plane, it seems like. You turn around, and I haven't even worked on my Christmas list yet. Have you? Do you know how fast it's coming? Another year is almost over with. I got to get on Amazon and get my list going. That's what I hear the latest thing is. You don't go down and kind of walk up and down the aisles and wear your legs out looking at things. You go on Amazon and just check it. And then you send it off to all your friends, and they're supposed to fill your list for you. I'm catching up with all this stuff. No, we're out there digging a hole. But the hole has no purpose. The hole has no meaning. And yet we're going to waste a whole lifetime on it. And in the end, we have nothing. Because without God, we have nothing. And without God, we are nothing. So we go to Psalm 14, and that's been mentioned. If I go the right direction here. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. You know, there's about not quite 42,000 verses in the Bible, and the atheist gets a half a verse. There's nearly 775,000 words in the Bible, and the atheist gets a quote of four words. The conversation goes like this. The atheist says, there is no God. And God says, fool. He doesn't spend time defending himself. Let me give you all the evidence. Oh, the evidence is out there. It's all around us. Romans 1 tells us that. God just says, fool. End of conversation. He says, this fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. Now, there's different words for fool. One word means kind of, well, just kind of dull and stupid. Another word has to do with being unreasonable. And the word that's used here for fool is a word that means has a moral, perversity. Vile. Dirty. Ugly. Keep that picture in mind, because, you know, we zero in on this and we say, yeah, that person down there I met, he's an atheist. I'm glad I'm not an atheist. Did you read the rest of the psalm? We only read the one verse. Maybe we ought to read the rest of the psalm. Let's see what it says. Concerning the fool, God describes them corrupt, their deeds are vile, and no one does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand. Well, why wouldn't you understand? We have minds, we have free wills, we can think, we reach conclusions, we take action. What does he mean, understand? Well, we don't understand the ways of God. We don't even know God. If God doesn't come down and teach us about himself, there's so little we know about him. And Jesus steps on the earth and says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, I need to study him so that I know about my God. Who's going to understand God if we don't let God be God and let God describe God? And yet everyone says, well, I kind of think my God, he's kind of like this, or he's kind of like that, or he's kind of loving, or he's kind of stern, or he's this, or he's that. God isn't left to the figment of your imagination or what you think he should be. He tells you exactly who he is. And when you have angels flying to and fro day and night saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, you better grab that picture and understand it. He says, who understands? You don't understand unless you read your Bible. Because therein is where God describes himself. Anyone seek God? Look at this. All have turned aside. They are together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. So before you zero in on the atheist who says there is no God, Notice how, that the same words are used to describe all men, along with the atheist who says there is no God, because there's two kinds of atheists. There's the intellectual atheist. He says, well, I've studied it all. I've searched it out. I've looked at everything, and it's it's hollow. It's foolishness. Science should reign, and so I've given up on this idea of God. That's a very, very tiny percentage. The rest of them, the rest of the world, including you and me, are practical atheists. We believe in a God, but we don't live like it. Who is the foolish one? Is it the foolish one that says, way with God, I'm just going to live the way I am? Or the one that says, I believe in God, and I go to church, and I carry my Bible, and I pray, and I do all these things, but my life doesn't marry up, doesn't match up to what I say. And therein, I'm a practical atheist. See, the atheist better be right. He can't afford to be wrong. I always tell them, you know, if you're right, I don't lose anything. You know, we just go out like that, lights out, end of that, back to dust, it's over. You'll never be able to say to me, I told you so. That's not going to happen. But if you're wrong, I can say to you what? I told you so. See, I can't lose. If there is no God, because I enjoy the life I live right now, the way I live it, and the peace and everything that comes with it. If there's no God and we just lights out and it's over, I've lost nothing. How are you coming on your hole? Still working on it? Mm-hmm. So he says the last in verse 4. Will evildoers never learn? No, they don't. They continue to live as if there is no God, but they somehow soothe their conscience by telling everybody, I believe in God. Well, let's talk about a parade of fools. Let's talk about a fool. There's one coming up here, number 2. Number 2, another fool, Achan. Who was Achan anyway? Well, in the song, maybe you understood, he was part of the soldiers that marched with Joshua round the walls of Jericho. I'm not going to sing for you, but that's the kind of the way. And the walls came tumbling down. Yeah. He had a victory in front of him. He was leading a normal life. He was part of the great parade that crossed Jordan under the leadership of Joshua. He only had one command, and that was when the walls come down and you take the city, that all the silver, all the gold, all the bronze, and all the iron belong to the Lord. You're to take nothing. It's the spoils belong to God of the first city. Now, I'm not reading Joshua 7 because you're going to read it. You see, you kind of said to me, in the first part, well, I'm not a fool. I want to study my Bible and know about my God, so here's your opportunity. Read Joshua 6, Joshua 7. How long does it take to read that? Not very long. Joshua 6, we take the city. Joshua 7, the whole chapter is about Achan's sin and the effects of Achan's sin. He was a fool. And yet, he didn't set out with a plan to be a fool. He didn't think, I don't think he got out of his tent that morning and says, you know, whatever happens today when we take the city, if I get any chance to grab some of that gold and some of that silver, I don't care what the Lord said, I'm going to get it. I don't think that's what he did, because if I understand when he gave his confession, he kind of gives us the idea that it was sudden. He was doing what he was supposed to do, and then all of a sudden, no one was looking, no one was around. It was a quiet. The test of your integrity is when God is just there all by with you and no one else. And there it was, a Babylonian garment, top of the line, Saks Fifth Avenue. I mean, there it is. And silver and gold. And what does he say? I looked at it. I coveted it. I want it. No one's looking. I'll take it. And he hid it in his tent. You know, the devil works that way. You can be sailing along in your Christian life, and all of a sudden you fall right into a pothole because it happens so quick, so sudden. You weren't ready. You thought you had your act together. You were with everybody else. Here we go. And then all of a sudden there it was. That's what happened to Jesus and the temptations of Jesus. He's out there in the wilderness those 40 days. The devil's good at timing. He's good at presentation. That's what happened in the garden. Achan only had one command, and he failed it. He looked at it. Jesus, the devil said to Jesus, "You're hungry, aren't you?" Why, of course he's hungry. It's been 40 days. You're not getting out of here that quick. You're going to be right here for a little while. So if you're hungry, you'll just be hungry for a little longer. Jesus, he said, look at those stones. Don't they look like bread? Look at them a little closer. Give it some thought. No one around. You're out in the wilderness. Who cares? Who's going to know? You can turn the stones into bread. Timing. The devil knows how to do that. What would have been lost? You and I would have been lost. Because the effects would have affected us. Do you know that when Achan failed, all of Israel failed? 36 men died because of Achan, along with his own consequences for him dying for what he did. 36 soldiers were killed in battle that shouldn't have died because of Achan. They went up with hopes. They expected victory, and they were defeated. And they came back, and God's indictment wasn't just for Achan. It was an indictment for the whole of Israel. One man's failure became all people's failures. You know how you live affects the church? As a member of the body, the choices you make directly affect the whole body. You're not a singleton. You're not living an isolated life. You're incorporated into something big and something holy. And that's what happened with Achan. He made a choice. It was quick. It happens. It's like he said in John, 1 John talked about it. He said, you know, all the things in the world, the cravings of man, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, you know, those things are of the world. And they're not pleasing to God. And the world's going to pass away and the desires thereof, but the man who does the will of God will live forever. Achan was a fool. Then there's another fool. There's a lot of fools. The rich fool. Well, that's not my problem. I don't have to worry about that. I don't know why I even deal with this one. Maybe there's somebody out there that this applies to. Let's look at that one. That's in Luke 12. We'll read that one together. There's actually one little verse I didn't add to that, and we'll get to that one in Luke 12, if I can get there. He told him a parable. Parable is a true-to-life story. It has an application, has a moral to it, has a meaning for you and me. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Well, everybody knows that, you know, that does happen. Some people get a lot of blessings. Instead of the blessings leading to gratitude and humbleness before God, they become circular and suited to self. Look what I have done. And this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Well, I don't care how big you build your barns. If you're into the abundance of things, the barns will be too small. We have a barn. It's too small. We keep saying we got to go clean the barn. You hardly get in the door. Where did all this stuff come from? If you don't realize how stuck you are in the abundance of things, move. That'll cure you. This one I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and I will store my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God said to him, see, all of this up till now was life without God. But God's still a part of this equation. He's still part of this scenario. You might kind of block him out, but he isn't blocked out. He knows everything about you and me, all your motives, all your thoughts. God said, fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. You know, the one thing this poor farmer did, I call him the poor farmer because he might have had full barns, but in all of his thinking and not considering God, he should have realized that we have no insurance policy on our future. How long are you going to live? Tomorrow? A week? We have this breath, this heartbeat right now. And beyond that, you know, I talked to my a lady out in New York State, and she was telling me about a friend of hers that inherited a house. And this was about inheritance here, and that's what brings it to mind. Inherited a house, and he went and he was looking it over. And when he walked out of the house, the whole porch caved in on top of him and killed him right on the spot. Well, who planned on that? We don't plan on that. It happens. He wasn't ready. He hadn't thought about it. Then he says, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Well, not how you doing on your whole. You see, without God, it has no purpose. Everything here goes to someone else. And what do they do with it? Same thing. Round and round we go. Because without God, it's meaningless. This is how it'll be with anyone who stores up things for himself and is not rich toward God. Back up. This is the verse that isn't up there. This is verse 15. Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You don't possess things anyway, they possess you. That's why you're out there always trying to fix the mower and then fix the snowblower and then something else, the car breaks down and the house needs painting and then the roof leaks and you say, why do I own all these things? Who owns what? Seems like they own me. What do we got up there? Oh, Mark 8:36. What does it profit if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul? You get to answer that. I get to answer that. What can a man give in exchange for his soul? You have right now, and what you're doing right now tells me whether you are really a believer in God and God is the center of your universe, and your hand is in the hand of God, and your plans are the plans of God, and anything less than that, where God is peripheral, and, well, a little bit of God goes a long ways, and I'll just kind of sift along here with a little bit of religion, then I'm nothing more than a practical atheist, and I'm just a fool. What's the next one? More fools. See what it says? Well, you have to go back in time with me now. It's a couple 14-year-old boys, about 14. Florida. You know, we always, this is about Terry and I. Terry was a minister here for many, many years. And I, and we were a youth group together under Bill, and we were neighbors, and Terry and I hung out together, and we did lots of things, including dumb things. We spent time in swamps. And swamps were something that, you know, you go from here to the middle of that street out there in the swamp, it's a whole different world. And the moss is growing. You need your imagination, or can you figure this out? It's swampy and watery, and trees falling over, and moss hanging down. And if you don't get out of there by about 3 in the afternoon, it's going to be very dark in there. Well, we were into making money. We didn't have any money. We were poor as church mice. In fact, we even went to church. Poor. So we tried to work. Well, Terry was good. He got a job painting. He's painted all his life. He's very, very, very good at it. I didn't do so good. In fact, my neighbor down the street actually had me come hire me to paint their chicken coop and a shed, not with paint, but with old used motor oil. And I was to slosh it everywhere on all the beams and all the rough wood and everywhere I could. Do you know what happens when you start throwing all that motor oil around? You get covered in motor oil. And there wasn't anybody from OSHA and the government to come and tell me what the effects of motor oil does to the human body. But I'm a living proof to you that it stunts your growth and you lose your hair. But we needed to make money. So we decided, you know what? Gatorland in Orlando, Florida, they buy alligators. We're two swamp boys. We know where alligators are. And you can't just go hunt alligator. You've got to have permission. So we've got a permit from the governor to do that. Now, we didn't consult our parents because I'm not sure they would have blessed that event. And we didn't consult with God. We were only 14. We were somewhere locked in between the silliness of childhood and the vanity of adulthood. And so there we were. We didn't do what you do, that when you're having something like this come up, how you lay it out before the Lord and ask for the Lord's leading and pray about it. I know that's what you do, but that isn't what we did. And we got a big shark hook, and we got a chain, and we got old rotten meat, and we headed into the swamp. And we wrapped it around a tree, good-sized tree, cypress trees, that's what you find in the swamps. And we ran it out a limb and hung it over the water, and there hung all that meat. And I can even tell you what day of the week it was. We came back the next day, so that was a Tuesday. We came back on a Wednesday, and we had a gator. I don't know how big he was, but he sure threw water everywhere. He was not happy. And it was prayer meeting night, Wednesday night, so we couldn't stay and take care of our gator. So we said, well, we'll come back the next day, and we'll take care of the gator. We didn't pray about it at prayer meeting either. We went back the next day. You know, sometimes God rescues you from your own foolishness. You go running headlong into something and it's not thought out, it's not planned out, it's not prayed about. You haven't incorporated God into this at all. There's no wisdom, there's no rhyme to it. You just shot straight ahead. We went in to get our gator. Now, how are you going to get a gator? Did we have a plan? No. Who needs a plan? You're only 14. The alligator pulled the tree out by the roots. That's what he did. I don't know how big that gator was. But I wouldn't want to be two 14-year-olds on the end of a chain saying, gotcha. Foolishness. Now, this really didn't happen, but it kind of happened in the long term. We came out of the swamp, and God could have said to us, you know, Terry, Art, I want to chat with you just a little bit. You can continue with these crazy schemes you've got of how to make money and what you're going to do with your life. But if that's the route you want to take and you're going to leave me out, then I'm just going to step back and let you go ahead and do what you want to do and reap the consequences of what you're doing. Or you can put your hand in my hand and utilize my plan and let me take control. And I'll make preachers out of both of you. Two guys who the last thing in the world they ever wanted to do was get up front. I'd rather tackle a gator. I couldn't even make book reports in school. It was heart-pounding, sweating. God said, I'll make you fishers of men instead of hunters of alligators. And that's the choice we made. You know why? Because God, number five, where is it? Coming up. Number five, God loves fools. And you're a fool. If God isn't the center of your life, if Jesus Christ doesn't reign in your life and in your heart, oh, you're not the intellectual atheist that says there is no God. You're the practical atheist who lives as if there is no God. And the Bible says, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many follow it. You think all those that are going to destruction are intellectual atheists? No, they're not. Because I also know Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Wasn't I faithful in this one? He said, I didn't even know you. You weren't really, really in love with me. You were just using me as a friend. And that song, here's the last words of it. God asks for everyone today. You know, God only deals in todays. If you think you've got a future, go for it. Before you do it, read Luke 12 and the rich fool, will you? Who hears his word proclaimed to come to him without delay. Bring to him your pain. He'll give you joy. He'll give you happiness. Wrapped in love divine. He'll take you in his loving arms. And he'll give you peace of mind. Vanity, empty soul, foolish heart. Knowing you can have a brand new start. You'll walk right out this door and go back to digging your hole. Let God give your life some meaning, some substance, some reality. You see, God loves fools. But fools want to manage their own life and manage their own affairs and decide how they want it. And if they can get God to help them out, great. But the only way you can lock in with God is not by running ahead of Him, doing what you want to do. It's by surrendering. You have to give it up. Because every thought, every idea, every perception you have of this world, in this world, apart from Jesus Christ and apart from His Word, is distorted. And you are being deceived. And you are a fool if you continue on being deceived when you know you could turn it around. God loves fools, but only fools who surrender.